And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I have a very special program for you. It's a program that I'll tell you, if you didn't have to cry so much about it, you'd have to laugh. And that may sound a little double-minded in itself. You have to laugh or cry at today's program. Well, I do want to talk about double-mindedness. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many of his ways? All of them. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, I tell you, we have a lot of crazies in the world today, a lot of psychopaths, a lot of sociopaths, a lot of crazies, and they're double-minded. I'm going to propose to you today that America is inhabited mostly by morons. Now, I know it's not nice to talk about morons, but that's what they are. Now, listen, if a person really does have a lack of mental acuity, in other words, they're not too smart, I really do have pity for them, especially people who have, you know, mental problems and who might even have been born with some mental illness. Maybe they're mentally retarded. And I think we need to help these folks out. We do. We need to have compassion and love for them. But if a person pretends haughtily to be a genius, and even takes advantage of the fact that of his claim to superiority over the rest of us, such as, for example, most U.S. senators and congressmen do, I think it's just fair game to label them what they are, which is morons. Now, you know, I was in the Air Force. I was a commanding officer. And every once in a while, I'd have a person that wasn't too smart in uniform. Most of the guys in Air Force Blue were pretty smart. It was one of those services, you know, you had to pass a little bit higher test. I'm just bragging now, you Marines and Navy and Army guys, don't get mad at me, but it's true. Air Force seemed to have a little higher caliber of people. Again, that's not always so, because I did meet a few guys lacking. And, you know, as their commanding officer, I was able to get their personnel records out and see what their mental scores were. They're sort of like the IQ. They call it different names in the Air Force, but we had a test, and it supposedly gave you an idea of how smart this person was, what their capability was. And if their capability wasn't very high, I wasn't too harsh on them. You know, I knew they were doing the best they could do, given their limitations. But if a guy had a very high IQ, had a lot of capability, a lot of potential, and he was just slacking and messing around, I was pretty tough on them. Because I knew this young person, this man or woman in uniform, they had what it took, but they didn't want to do what it took to do a good job. Well, I came down hard on such people. But those who did a good job and really didn't have the mental IQ, but still succeeded, I gave them the greatest compliments. I was unfair, because I believe if a person is doing his utmost best, I think they should be rewarded. Okay? Now, again, even the Bible says according to your ability, you should produce for the kingdom of God. Some are given greater gifts than others, and it's your responsibility to devote yourself to the Lord and to give of your talents and gifts. Now, so when I say what I'm going to say today, please understand, I'm mostly being critical of people who have potential, but they just choose to be morons. They do. They choose to be morons. They want to be double-minded because they don't want to do what it takes to do what's right. They're cowards. They're lazy. They're pretenders. They're politically correct. The March of the Morons. That's what it is today in America. And I want to propose to you something. America is suffering today. America is suffering today. We're in a miserable condition because of the mental and moral midget syndrome. Now, some people say, well, now, you shouldn't be talking about midgets. I'm not talking about little people. I'm talking about little-minded people. There are little people, midgets and dwarfs, who are to be commended. I mean, they're pretty big people, really, because they may not have the stature in terms of being tall, but they're pretty good folks. So we're not talking now about your size of your body. I'm talking about the willingness to exercise your moral authority and your abilities as God has given you. So this is the March of the Morons, how America is suffering from mental and moral midget syndrome. We do have a sickness. Triple MS, I call it. Mental, moral, midget syndrome. MMMS, triple MS. And what can you and I do about it? We'll get to that a little bit later, but first, I want to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Would you consider a person as perhaps a moron, perhaps a mental and moral midget? If a man went to a doctor, let's say with a slight pain in his right leg, he says, "Doctor, what can I do about this little pain I've got in my right leg?" The doctor says, "Well, we can cut off your left leg." And the man says, "That's a good idea, doctor." After all, he realizes that the slight pain in his right leg, he won't even notice it at all, because he'll be dealing with the horrific, intense pain in the amputated limb. That's good. Cut off my left leg, I won't even notice the little pain I've got in my right leg. Doctor, go ahead, cut it off. Now, you might say a person has to be a moron to do something like that. I'm telling you right now, they're doing that all over America in hundreds, thousands of different ways. That kind of moronic conduct is being done. Imagine, this is an old story, but it's still true. Imagine a man standing atop a set of long, steep stairs. How's he going to get down there to the bottom? He looks down. It's a pretty good ways down. So he just gathers himself together and he flings himself down head first. Well, he gets up groggy, injured, bruised, wipes himself off and says, "Woo, I'm glad that's over." You might say a man like that's a moron. He got to where he was going all right, but boy, he's bruised in the process. I'd say he's a moron too. I'd say the man is afflicted with mental and moral midget syndrome. Wouldn't you? I'd say he's a moron. Well, a lot of people, they really know something is wrong. They know these things aren't right. But they choose to be a moron. That makes it worse when you choose to be a moron. You know, I like the old saying, and in fact, I started my book, Codex Magica, with it. Because, you know, there's a lot to it. It goes this way. A little poem. "Yesterday, up on the stair, I saw a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away." A lot of people see the little man on the stair. And they say to themselves, "He's not there." And then they come back today and he wasn't there again today. Oh, how they wish he'd go away. You know, there are some things in America you just wish they weren't like that. I do. I wish America wasn't as debauched as it is. I wish it was not as immoral. I wish I didn't have to turn on the TV and see mothers killing their own little babies. Fathers beating up and molesting their own children. I wish our own president didn't start a war for nothing over in Iraq, and now we have over 4,000 of our own young people dead and 1 million Iraqis. I wish the little man wasn't up there on the stairs. But he is. I wish he'd go away, but he's there. And if I say he's not there, then I'm a moron. And I'm teaching moronic behavior to other people. I don't want to do that. I want to be, if I have that kind of moronic affliction, I want to be cured of mental and moral midget syndrome, triple MS. How about you? Are you afflicted with it? Probably not, because you listen to this program a lot. And I keep warning you on this program here, Power of Prophecy, there is a little man on the stairs. He's a threat to all of us. The rascal has a gun in his left hand, a knife in his right hand, and an atomic bomb in his back pocket. And he's going to use it on you and me and the whole world if you don't watch out. I'm telling you. There is an astounding reign or rulership today in America of the mental and moral midgets. It's almost a new disease, because I don't recall it 20, 30 years ago so deeply. It's pandemic. Don't worry about bird flu hitting America. Don't worry this coming winter about an influenza epidemic, a new variety of Asian or Hong Kong flu. I'm telling you, we're afflicted with a horrible moronic disease, and it's everywhere. I'm going to give you some case studies today. And each of you can probably write to me and say, Tex, I want to add another example to your case file. I'd like to hear from you. I know even in your own local communities, you can point to me people who have proven by their criminal activities and conduct, or their utter stupidity toward the truth, that they are mental and moral midgets. You know them. I know them. They're everywhere. This is the march of the morons. It's sort of like that movie for kids, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Those little people playing their music. The march of the little people. But you know, they were pretty smart. They were making those chocolate products. They were doing pretty good there. They're pretty brilliant people. Well, again, it has nothing to do with size. I'm not prejudiced against the little people. I'm prejudiced against little-hearted people. People who have no spirit, no soul, soulless people. They have a big body, a handsome frame. That don't matter. They're empty inside. Look at some of the case studies. We're already here in America. They're debating energy. What are we going to do to get more oil? The oil price keeps going up. Well, the Democrats seem to have the solution. Just don't drill for oil as much. Huh? Don't drill as much. That'll help things. Or how about raise prices at the pump? Or tax it more at the pump? That's good. That's real good. That's real smart. Tax the people so that they can't afford the gasoline. Yeah, that'll cut down demand. Or will it? I think oil companies just keep raising it anyway. They'll just produce less and less and keep driving up the price. Here's another one. Even though the four major weather tracking stations around the world, including our own NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, say that there is no such thing as global warming, Al Gore, John McCain, Barack Obama, and George W. Bush and Hillary Rodham Clinton all say the weather scientists are stupid. We politicians know there is global warming. And you've got to change your lifestyle and sacrifice for the good of mankind because of the global warming. But sirs, the scientists say there is no. Shut up, scientist! We're the morons. We're marching forward to glory. We say there's global warming. And if you don't like the name global warming, that euphemism, will change it to climate change. We know there's climate change. Well, of course, today it's warm. Tomorrow it might be a little cooler. Of course, every day there's climate change. At dawn, the sun comes out, it's a little warmer. At dusk, it gets a little cooler. There's climate change. Who can debate that? These people are morons. Barack Obama demanded recently a timetable. America needs to get out of Iraq. We need a timetable. George Bush says anybody that would set up a timetable or a timeline for getting out of Iraq, that's the same as appeasing Hitler in World War II. That's the Chamberlain syndrome. How horrible of Obama to call for a timeline or a timetable for Iraqi withdrawal. Then after accusing Obama, the Democratic nominee for president, of being another Hitler Nazi appeaser for wanting a timetable, suddenly the Bush administration comes out and says, we want to set a time horizon for getting out of Iraq. The news people say, isn't a time horizon setting a time date? Isn't that the same as Obama's call for a timeline or a timetable? No, it's not. A time horizon, says the Bush administration, is not a timetable. Do-do-do-do-do. Sandra, over there, she's my producer today. We need that Twilight Zone music. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We're in the Twilight Zone. A timetable is not acceptable, but a time horizon that sets a time to get out of Iraq, that's okay, says Bush and McCain. Oh, yes, I get it. There's a difference. Tell me again, please, what the difference is. Say what? I can't hear you. What? I still can't hear it. Here's another one while we're talking about Iraq. The surge is working, says John McCain. There's less people being killed in Iraq. It's a success. But wait. Now, why did we get in Iraq in the first place? Because we wanted to take away Saddam's nuclear weapons. What's that you say? He never had nuclear weapons? So we should have never got in Iraq? So what's the surge for? What are we trying to win? We went in there to get the nuclear weapons out of Iraq, but they never existed. So what is the surge for? How can it be successful when it's not good for anything? What's it doing? Well, it's stopping violence. Well, getting out would stop the violence, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, but we don't want to get out. That would be a mistake. That would be setting a timeline. And we're not for timelines. We're for time horizons. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. If the surge works, the Iraq war will be successful. We have won. Well, what have we won? Well, we won the fact that there are no nuclear weapons in Iraq. But there never were weapons in Iraq. Well, shut up, Tex Mars. You're trying to be too reasonable. You have a sound mind. Well, yes, I do. Let me tell you why. The Apostle Paul in the Bible said, be of a sound mind. Jesus told Christians, be of a sound mind. You're nothing but a camel driver moron, McCain and George Bush. To say the surge is working. Working how? What? When? Where? What was the goal for Iraq in the first place? And we have to have a surge to achieve that goal? And the goal was for us to get rid of nuclear weapons that never existed? Am I going nuts? Evidently. The whole world's going nuts. Because there are millions of Americans who say the surge is working. Well, what's it accomplishing? Well, I don't know, but it's working. But aren't Americans still being killed? Maybe not as many. Oh, that's what it is. Now not as many Americans are being killed there, our soldiers. That's good. It's working. We're not having as many Americans killed as they were before. But if they weren't there, they wouldn't be killed anyway. Well, that's true. But we can't get out now that we're there. Why not? Well, it wouldn't look good. We can't cut and run. The terrorists may take over. But they didn't have any terrorists there before. Saddam Hussein had killed all the terrorists. Yeah, I know, but now they might be there now that we started the war. So we started the war, and that put terrorists there. Now we got to have a surge to make sure the terrorists don't. The whole thing is so convoluted, double-minded, satanic. Now here was another thing. Dick Cheney, vice president, and our erstwhile U.S. ambassador, Mr. Bolton, the guy with a mustachio, what a nut he is, fruitcake. He's still going on Fox saying, now we need to bomb Iran, and the sooner the better. They told us that if we invaded Iraq, the people would dance in the streets. They were right. The people are dancing in the streets on top of American bodies, that is. They also told us that the war wouldn't cost us anything as Americans because we would be able to get all that Iraqi oil and it would pay for the war. Now, there is a lot of oil in Iraq. In fact, it is in the top five of oil producers in the whole world as a country. But where's the oil going? Not to America. It, in fact, is going through two pipelines through western Iraq into Israel over to the Gulf there and going through the Mediterranean into the ocean, and it's being sold to India, China, and Japan by the Israelis. That's right. The Jews are getting billions of dollars from Iraqi oil. And meanwhile, American taxpayers have paid, according to the government, over $1 trillion for the Gulf War, our Persian Gulf War with Iraq, and it's costing us now over $3 billion a week, and the oil hasn't paid one penny of it. And most of the money's missing, the auditors say. Israel got the oil money, the Jews, with their oil tankers loading up over there on the Israeli and Lebanese coast. Reminds me of the old James Reed. Is it Reed, I think? Remember the country singer? Sang a song about a divorce settlement. Jerry Reed. Thank you, Sandra. The guitar player. Said he had a divorce. You know, in the settlement. She got the gold mine. I got the shaft. Well, the Jews, we invaded Iraq. The Jews got the gold mine. We got the shaft. If Iran is evaded, oil will pay for the invasion, our leaders told us, our congressmen told us. And what is the result? Since we invaded Iraq, the price of gasoline at the pump has tripled. Tripled. Now, that's what I call a successful war. The surge has worked. The price of gasoline has tripled. Huh? Come again there, Mr. McCain. Mr. Bush, Mr. Cheney, Mr. Bolton, Mr. Chertoff, and on, Miss Pelosi, Miss Clinton, all of you nuts that voted for the war. Talking to a young man about 28 years of age, not too long ago. Ask him what he thought about the war in Iraq. I think it's a good war. We need to do something about those Arabs, those Muslims. We need to do something about them. What do you think about the price of gasoline being $4 a gallon? That's terrible. He said, we need to do something about that. We need to do something about that. It's too much. I can't afford it. What do you think we're going to do about the Iranians, Iran? Well, we got to nuke them. Let's nuke them and kill them all. We got the power. We got the power. We got the Navy. We got the Air Force. We can go in there and just use the nuclear bombs and kill all of them. You actually hear that from some Americans today. Let's go nuke the Iranians. I asked the young man, I said, let me ask you a question. If we use nuclear bombs to go in there and kill a bunch of Iranians, they'll retaliate by closing up the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, where all the oil tankers come out. And since we don't see fit for it to be important to drill for our own oil and our own land here in North America, we're dependent upon that oil. Did you know that the price of oil a barrel could go up to $300 a barrel? And you might be paying $15 a gallon for gas.
I don't know anything about that, he said.
No, you don't, I said. I responded. No, you don't. The man says nuke the Iranians, but he doesn't know it might drive up the price of gasoline at the pump to $15 and make all the oil men deliriously happy, not to mention the Venezuelans, the Russians, the Jews who now own the Iraqi oil because of the pipelines going from Iraq through Israel. They know, and they want it to happen. The more the price of gasoline goes up, the more the Jews on Wall Street that are driving up the oil futures prices will enrich themselves. The more Hugo Chavez will in Venezuela, the more even Iran will. Iran will actually benefit from a war against them. If we attack their military bases, Ahmadinejad will say, we're a rich country now. Iran is the world's second largest producer of oil. And they're already making $150 million a day from their oil. If the price goes up, they can make $500 million a day from the oil. They want a war. That's right. The Saudi Arabians are lusting after a war. Boy, we need another war over here. They're already building the tallest skyscrapers in the world, and the little oil-rich, oil-shake Arab Muslim Republic of Dubai and Qatar's next door in Kuwait, those are the richest countries in the world now. Those little bitty countries in the Gulf, oil-rich. They want a war. And you dumb Americans say, yeah, let's nuke the Iranians. You are a moron. That's what you are. And you have a disease, and I call it mental and moral midget syndrome. Triple MS. Now, how about this one? We have a terrible illegal alien problem. Illegal immigrants coming across the border. Nobody wants to stop it, except maybe you and I, the listeners to this program and a few other radio programs, a few strict constitutionalists, a few people who love America and want to keep America, America. Illegal aliens are pouring in. The government admits to 12 million, but a Barron Stearns report said 3 years ago said we had up to 35 million illegal aliens already within our borders. 35 million. That was 3 years ago. We probably have 40 or 50 million today. John McCain says he's got the solution. George Bush says he's got the solution. The Democrats on Capitol Hill say they've got the solution. Give amnesty to all the illegal aliens through what they call immigration reform. We need reforms. The present system is broken. It doesn't work. Huh? You know, I had a brother one time. He told me, can I borrow your car today to go to work? I said, what's the matter with yours? He said, mine doesn't work. It's broken. I went out and checked it. I found out there was no oil in it. I said, Joe, you don't have any oil in your car. Oh, that's the reason it was grinding and making those noises. I said, you don't have any oil in your car. That's why it's broken. I'll talk more about my brother Joe and his broken down car, and about the illegal immigration problem, and about the morons marching across America when I return in just a moment. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I've got a lot more morons to uncover when we return. Do you have a copy of my newest book? This is Tex Mars. Mysterious Monuments is an amazing book. According to Amazon.com, it's now number one in the category, number one bestseller in the category of religious encyclopedias and reference books. It's the number one bestseller. And here's why. People want to know the truth. This is the Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. Did you know there's a city in Ohio? The streets were laid out, and it was designed years ago by a master mason, and it's laid out in the form of a Masonic square and compass. Did you know that directly in front of the Library of Congress has been erected a great, naked, muscular statue of a devil god? You say that cannot be. The Library of Congress, the repository of the collective wisdom of the American people in Washington, D.C.? That's right. Did you know that the Washington Monument is numerologically coded by Masons with the number 666? It was constructed using the occult number 666. Do you know what the meaning of the Washington Monument is in every Egyptian obelisk? Did you know that the gravestone, the marker for Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and other of our nation's founders is an Egyptian obelisk? Did you know that the mausoleum or the tomb of our country's first president, George Washington, was designed as an Egyptian palace? Egyptian. Mysterious monuments. 624 pages. 875 photographic proofs. 875. Folks, you'll be reading, order this book, and when you get it in, you'll be reading it, you'll be looking at it and discovering amazing things. Now, I want to tell you something. I have never worked so hard on a book as I worked on this one. Anyone around here will tell you, I began this ministry work in 1986, 87. And do you know what book I started working on in 1986 and 87? Mysterious Monuments. Now, I've authored several dozen books, but this is the book that I wanted to do. But somehow God says, get more information, get more documentation, get more pictures, more evidence, prove to the people. So I said, okay, Lord. And I kept studying and researching. I went to many of these sites myself. I visited the Georgia Guidestones that called for the massacre of most of the people on this earth. That's right, an architectural monument, the Guidestones calling for the massacre of 6.5 billion people off the face of the planet. I visited that. I went to Memphis, Tennessee to see the Great American Pyramid, the Great Pyramid here in the United States, not in Egypt. We're at the very apex of it. They found a few years ago a strange box that had been actually welded into the steel girders way up at the top, the very top, the apex of the Great American Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. And there inside a metal box that had been welded to the structure of the building, workmen that were sent up on cranes to find it found it, and they discovered a mysterious velvet pouch inside the box, the metal box. And inside the pouch they found some interesting contents. Was this great pyramid in America dedicated to the devil? Well, Mysterious Monuments. I want you to have this book. It's $35. And friends, let me tell you something. You're not going to find any other book with 875 pictures, large format, big as a metropolitan city's phone book. It weighs 4 pounds. We have to send it out in a box. Can't go out in a regular envelope or package. $4 shipping, we asked for it, and that's what it cost us. I think it actually cost us more than $4. I can't recall, depending on how we sent it. Mysterious Monuments, the Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. Brand new book, Mysterious Monuments, for $35. Please add $4 shipping and handling. Now, you can order it on powerofprophecy.com. If you like to shop at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, go there. We'd love for you to get it on our website because we make more money. And as I told you before, we're not making a profit from this ministry from a sale of our books and tapes, but at least help pay a few bills, and we'd appreciate your support. $39 then, postpaid for this book. Here's how to get it from the Ministry Power of Prophecy. You can phone us toll-free during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Our phone number, that's Central Standard Time, our phone number is 1-800, that's toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Ask for the book, Mysterious Monuments. Charge it on your charge card, $39 for the book, Mysterious Monuments. We have plenty of copies, and we'll get it right on its way to you probably the very next workday. Mysterious Monuments by Tex Mars. Now, it's on our website too, powerofprophecy.com, or you can just go to mysteriousmonuments.com, mysteriousmonuments.com, and get the book, Mysterious Monuments. Now let's return. Oh, you can order it to us by sending us a check or a money order or cash, $39. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. In the great, the wonderful, the once mighty USA. Now let's return to our regular program. And it's sort of a strange program today. The March of the Morons. How America is suffering from mental and moral midget syndrome. The morons, they have a mental and moral midget syndrome, triple MS. Again, I'm not talking about midgets because they're small. I'm talking about people who are little-hearted, who have little or no souls, who have little or no brains. They're like the straw man in The Wizard of Oz. They don't wish to use their brains that God has given them. They are the mental and moral midgets. And they're afflicted with a great disease that harms you and me and all of us and puts us in great dire circumstances, by the way. Let's go to some more of these morons. How about the morons who say the solution to our illegal aliens is to give them amnesty through immigration reform? That's what Bush and McCain say. Now, McCain was sort of knocked for that. And he won the Republican nomination for president only by saying, okay, I know people are mad at me, ha, 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 he, he, he. But I'll tell you what, I'm still for immigration reform. That means amnesty, by the way. But I'll go along with you and say that we need enforcement of the borders first. And as long as we're enforcing the borders, then you'll give me my immigration reform amnesty, won't you? And you know those dumb old Republicans said, yes, that's right. All you have to do is promise us enforcement of the border, and we'll let you have your immigration reform. You're our man, Mr. McCain. He didn't really mean it, folks. You know that. He went to the organization called La Raza, their national conference this year. That means the race, the Mexican race. And you know what he told all those Mexican illegal immigrants there? He said, as president, my first and last priority will be immigration reform. Border enforcement? No. Just last month, he was at the La Raza. I would need to pronounce it, you know, La Raza. See there? I'm being a good Mexican. I'm being just what Obama said. Remember he gave a speech just last week? Every American should speak Spanish. Now it's La Raza. Does it, Barack, are you listening? Did that make you happy, you moron? Okay, good. I like to make morons happy, don't you? Illegal aliens. Too many coming across? No problem. Give them amnesty. That'll solve the problem. Yeah, it'll solve the problem. Instead of 35 to 50 million, we'll have 150 million illegal aliens. If they can all get amnesty when they come over, they'll all come over. And don't worry, Barack, about us learning how to speak Spanish, because the majority will automatically speak Spanish because the majority will be Mexican, Guatemalan, El Salvadorian, and Brazil, you know, right on. Americans, another thing that they're morons about, so many complain about the nanny state. The government's telling us what to do, the nanny state. So what do they want to do? Elect Obama. Elect McCain. What two people could you choose as president who are more in favor of the nanny state? Are you out of your mind? Now, let's go to another area. Let's go over to Israel. That's where God's chosen people are. Now, I want you to look at it from the evangelical Christian standpoint. There are a lot of morons that are evangelical Christians. Let's just take the majority of them. The evangelical Christian, the majority, says that Israel has a right to all the land that they've seized and stolen from the Palestinians. Why? Because they're God's chosen people. Well, now, according to Peter in the Bible, if you're a Christian, you're also chosen by God. You're called and you're chosen. I'm chosen too because I have faith in Jesus Christ. Read Galatians 3 verse 29. It says, and if ye belong to Christ, if you are Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, since I'm God's chosen too as a Christian, that means I can steal any land that I want. That means I can plunder. Now, if God says you can have that land, all I have to do is take my shotgun, go blow their heads off. Run them off their land. And, you know, I don't even have to give them a by-the-by. I don't have to say, God told me to take your land. Just get off. I'm chosen. When people tell me the Jews are God's chosen people, I usually ask this question, what are they chosen for? Chosen for? Yes, what are they chosen for? If you're chosen, you got to be chosen for something.
Well, I don't know.
For stealing the land? Yeah, I guess so. For stealing the land. Let me tell you what the Jews were chosen for. They were chosen by God to produce two great things. One is the Scriptures. Second is Jesus Christ. And you know what? They didn't really want to do either one, evidently. They fought against it. God made them anyway. Now, what else are they chosen for? Nothing. Because now God has broken down the wall, the partition that separates the races. And according to Galatians 3, there's no such thing as a Gentile or a Jew. You either belong to the devil or you belong to Jesus. That's it. Two great classes of people. Two great categories of people. I'm an untouchable myself. I'm in that caste. Untouchable by the devil. The devil can't touch me. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. Can't touch me, devil. But there are a lot of people out there he's touching. He's touching their lives. He owns their souls. Now, a Jew can become a Christian. A Gentile can too. It doesn't matter, you see. And once you belong to Jesus, you're God's chosen people. And I'm here to tell you that whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, God doesn't authorize you to kill people and take their land. Now, you Christian evangelicals, you morons, you idiots, you know what you are. You're a mental and moral midget. If you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people for stealing the land from Palestinians and killing them when they protest and building an apartheid wall and cutting off their water and their food in Gaza and other areas and forcing them into refugee camps, if that's what God chose them for, if that's what you believe, you are a moron. Let's go to some next ones. Let's go to kids. You know, when I was a young man, it was sort of expected in schools that there might be a few kids that cut up. That's right. Oh, I remember a few of them. Don't you remember the little kid that would have a pencil and would stick you in the back with it? And when you turn around and say, stop that, the teacher would hear you and not know that he was jabbing you in the back with a pencil. And the teacher might say, hey, Tex, or hey, Sally, or hey, Jill, hey, John. Come up here and sit in the corner. You misbehaved. Sometimes you weren't even guilty. It was that kid that was jabbing you. You'd say, but Mrs. Jones, he was jabbing me in the back. Now, she was a good teacher. She'd say, you who jabbed him in the back, you come up here. She'd know you're telling the truth, you see. You know, kids act like that sometimes. Maybe the kid that was jabbing me in the back, I had a few like that. You did too. Maybe you were one of the jabbers. I hope not. But you know, I hope you grew out of it. You're not jabbing people today. You're behaving today. If not, you need to go sit in the corner. But in any case, kids will be kids. You know, you go, you know, play after school and kids will just do things. They're sort of hyperactive sometimes. And some kids are worse than others, aren't they? You know, they fidget, move around, speak in class, do things they're not supposed to. It doesn't mean they're a medical emergency. It doesn't mean they need to be diagnosed by the medical authorities as ADD. But today, the stupid teachers, the morons, and the moronic parents take them to the doctor and they say, little Johnny or little Kimberly moves too much in her chair at school, or she talks when she's not supposed to. She doesn't always behave. How about pumping her up with psychopathic drugs? And the doctor says, okay, we'll give her Ritalin. Now, Ritalin is a stimulant. Now, the little girl or little boy are already stimulated too much by natural, endocrinal, or hormonal things in their system. After all, they're little kids, and little kids are active. And now the doctor is going to give them a stimulant to reduce their overstimulation. Hello? Is anybody listening? I was talking with an attorney. He's one of the top attorneys in America. He sues. He brings lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies. He's from New York. He likes my books, by the way. And he couldn't wait to get my new Mysterious Monuments book. He works in one of the most powerful law firms in New York City. He said to me, Tex, you won't believe what the pharmaceutical companies are doing now. He said, I know people don't like me as an attorney. I know they think that, you know, we attorneys are all after the money. Well, I'm telling you right now, I see my job as messianic. I'm out to stop the drug companies from killing people. I said, well, good for you. He said, and I want to stop them from killing babies. I said, well, babies? What, how are they killing babies? He said, we found out in our law firm that one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world have had meetings recently, their top executives, to try to find out how to make more money. And they say, we've already pumped everybody else up with drugs. We need to get the babies in the cradle. And you know what? They're fixing to start a campaign doing. I said, what? He said, they're going to start advertising saying that some babies, while they're still in the cradle, some infants still in swaddling clothes, suffer from hyperactivity, attention deficit disorder, ADD. Does your baby cry at night and you're not able to sleep? Does your baby cry too much? Does your baby move about and maybe you give him a little toy and he throws it out of the cradle? Maybe your baby has ADD. Maybe we have to give him Prozac or Xanax, some other anxiety-reducing drug. Babies, does your baby move? Are you afraid he might fall out of the cradle? Yeah, your baby has ADD. He's got a psychiatric disorder. We've got to give him drugs. They want to give babies 2 months old and up drugs from the cradle because they move about, because they cry, because they try to talk. Because they're babies, dummies. That's why they do those things. Now look, I know some kids need to get a little spanking. I'm not talking about a beating. You people that beat your kids, something's wrong with your head. You're a moron. But every once in a while you need a little paddling. You certainly need a little bit of scolding. You need a little punishment for kids that go the wrong way, that misbehave. But many kids now are taking drugs that are totally normal. I was listening to the Neil Bort show. I don't much care for the man. He's a libertarian and anti-Christian, but he's on about 200 or 300 radio stations, I suppose. He doesn't like me much either. One day he took some of my tapes, my audio tapes. He said, here's what I think about Tex Mars. I'm burning his audio tapes. Yeah, Neil Bort's, this libertarian radio show host, burnt Tex Mars's audio tapes right on the air. I don't care. Yeah. Evidently, he needed to listen to them, though. People were sending these tapes to him. But one day, Neil Bort said on the air, he said, I got a bunch of kids, a whole elementary school class out there. Actually, I think he said they were 12-year-old kids. 12-year-old kids out here, 9 to 12 or something like that, out here in my studio, outside the glass enclosure. He said, there's about 30 or 40 of them out there. Their teachers brought them for a visit to the radio studio today, a little field trip. He said, hey, I got a question to ask you kids and the teacher. How many of you kids are taking Ritalin, the drug, that your parents are giving you a drug called Ritalin? He said, most of the kids raised their hand. He said, do you see that? He asked his assistant. Neil Bort said, the majority of the kids are taking a drug, Ritalin. They're claiming that the majority. Now, friends, I once read an article in a psychiatric journal, and this moron psychiatrist said that 98% of the American public are mentally ill and need therapy and drugs. Now, I want you to think about that. If 98% have psychiatric problems and need to be treated, who's going to treat them? It used to be if you were abnormal, if you weren't the normal, in the normal range, you might be considered to have a psychiatric mental illness. Now they're saying 98% are crazies, or, you know, going that way. Now, if 98%, that's the huge majority of crazy, it seems to me the two that this psychiatric writer said were normal, they're the ones that are abnormal. They're out of the norm. The 98% are okay, no matter what they do, because they're the vast majority. Huh? Is there a disconnect between me and him? Obviously. Now we move from the baby in the cradle that needs drugs, that the morons, the moral and mental midgets, say has medical problems when they're just being babies, to 9/11. Yeah, I like to switch back and forth. 9/11. Now, we're told, of course it's baloney, but let's just go with the liars and the crazies and the morons for a little bit here. Okay, follow me on this, dear friends. 9/11 was perpetrated, says the government, by 19 Arabs. 17 of them came from Saudi Arabia. 17 of 19 came from Saudi Arabia. Bush said, we're going to strike back at the terrorist that did 9/11. Now I want to ask a question of you. Why have we not yet attacked and invaded Saudi Arabia? Doesn't that make sense? If it's true that 17 of the 19 who killed all the Americans and others at World Trade Center and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon on 9/11. If 17 of 19 were from Saudi Arabia, we ought to be at war with Saudi Arabia. But we're not. Now, how many of the 19, according to the government, came from Afghanistan, a country we did invade? A country where we have tens of thousands of troops today. You know, I know, goose egg, zero, zilch, nada. How many came from Iraq? A country we invaded and now have 140 to 160,000 troops. You know, and I know. Goose egg, nada, zilch. Solution? Attack and invade Afghan and Iraq. Of course. If none of the Arab terrorists came from Afghanistan and Iraq, the only solution, according to the morons, is to attack Afghanistan and Iraq. It only makes sense if you're a mental and moral midget moron. Today, some 4,500 Americans have died in these nonsensical wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. There's no resolution. There's still only chaos over there. What is the solution? I know. Let's start another war. Maybe with the next door neighbor, Iran. Well, now, Iran has not invaded anyone for 300 years. The only war they've been involved in is when Saddam Hussein attacked them 20 years ago or so. Iran is not a threat to anybody. 16 American intelligence agencies have told Bush and Cheney, the morons, Iran does not have nuclear weapons, is not developing nuclear weapons, and could not possibly, even if they started today, have them before 10 years are out. So what do the Israeli morons and the White House morons say? We've got to invade Iran, or there will be mushroom clouds over America. Now, Israel has 600 nuclear bombs, the experts say. India has nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. So what nation should we attack? Well, Iran, of course. It only makes sense if you're a moron. Now, a last one. A man has no job. He has no income. He needs a place to live. What's the solution? Well, of course, a bank will give him a loan. But he doesn't have good credit. It doesn't matter. They'll give him a subprime loan. He doesn't have any money to put down. It doesn't matter. They'll give it to him. For 3 years they did this, the banks of America. No money down. Sometimes no job. Sometimes no income. The guy bought a $250,000 house. Well, he defaulted. He didn't pay. What's the conclusion of the matter? Well, the morons, they've already told us what the conclusion is. There has to be a bank bailout. The banks that were morons that lent the moron money, who didn't have any money to buy a house, they lent him the money without a down payment, with no credit. We've got to bail them out. Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, etc. All the banks. And then the buyer, we've got to forgive him too and give him a brand new loan. The guy that defaulted on his loan, we've got to put out $200 billion Congress just appropriated and help him to keep his house. A house that he couldn't pay for before and now he can't pay for again. The morons. Wow. Well, friends, it's the march of the morons. The mental and moral midgets, they're everywhere. I could go on and on and on. What's the solution? Here's the solution. Don't be the part of the problem. Don't be double-minded. Be of sound mind. The Bible says we can be through Jesus Christ. And you know, all you have to do is look and know the truth. And don't be afraid. Don't fear what man can do. Fear only God. That is the solution. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to a special program today. We've been talking about the March of the Morons. I'll be back next week, maybe with a kinder, gentler subject. Possibly. This is Tex Mars. Until next week, may God richly bless you.